Morning, everyone, and welcome. Morning. Our service this morning is centered on a quiet resurrection story. Not in a crowd or a city, but beside a lake, where Jesus meets his friends in an ordinary moment and reminds them of his care. Let's begin this morning with the words from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So we'll start this morning with hymn number 560, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Our reading today comes from the final chapter of John's Gospel. It takes place after Easter. The disciples know that Jesus is risen, but they are unsure what happens next. So they turn to something familiar. They go fishing. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the journey we are sharing as a church. We thank you for the words of John chapter 20 that Sharon shared with us last week, reminding us of the empty tomb and the breath of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we know that after the mountaintop moments of faith, we often have to return to the valley of everyday life. We come to you now, perhaps carrying the ordinariness of our week ahead. Open our hearts as we move into the next part of the story. Help us to look for you, not just in the miracles of the empty tomb, but in the simple breakfast on the shore. We bring our whole selves to you now, joining together in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now Marcus is going to come and give us our reading.
The marvellous catch of fish. Today's reading from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, is a resurrection appearance that many scholars believe was added later as an appendix to the Gospel. You can find the text on page 1090 of the Church Bible. The Gospel appears originally to have ended at the close of chapter 20, where the risen Jesus sends the disciples out on their apostolic mission. That's in verses 22 to 23. Later repeated for Thomas's sake, before confirming the gospel's purpose in verses 30 to 31. By contrast, chapter 21 opens with the disciples back at their former work, fishing on the Sea of Galilee, creating a striking tension with that earlier commissioning and the seeming lack of activity since. A similar account in Luke 5 links the marvellous catch to the initial call of the disciples who were to become fishers of men. In John, the call of Andrew and later Peter is somewhat different and appears to take place by the Jordan where John the Baptist was preaching, not in Galilee at all. Here, the text just says afterward, we find some of the disciples fishing from a boat through the night without success. At daybreak, the risen Jesus calls out to them from the shore, though they do not recognize him. He instructs them to cast their nets on the other side, which they do, and they haul in an overwhelming catch of fish, 153 in total. It is this moment that some of the disciples recognize Christ, prompting Peter to leap into the water and swim to shore, while the remaining disciples follow more cautiously by boat. On the shore, they find fish burning on an open fire, which they eat with bread, a simple messianic meal. The disciples named in the scene include Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael, along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Later, the passage also mentions the beloved disciple, that is, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who appears at significant episodes in the Gospel, and later in the chapter, in verse 24, is explicitly identified as the author John himself. The remainder of the chapter then focuses on these two, Peter and the beloved disciple, and establishes their joint authority in the early church. Peter as the pastoral leader, and John as the faithful witness, before concluding with a second epilogue in verses 24 to 25. The marvellous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Thanks be to God. We're now going to sing again, number 51, "Be Thou My Vision."
Let us pray. Loving God, may your word speak to us today in simple and quiet ways. Amen. Last week, we saw the disciples in a locked room, a moment of high emotion and spiritual power. But as we move into chapter 21, the dust has settled, the reality of what now has set in. It's one thing to see Jesus risen, it's another to know how to live your life the next week. After the excitement of Easter, today's reading feels remarkably different. There are no crowds or dramatic speeches. Peter does something very human. He goes back to what he knows. He says, "I'm going fishing." I've often wondered why they chose the lake. Perhaps because the Sea of Galilee was the place where they first met Jesus, the place where they felt they knew who they were. When our world is turned upside down, we go back to where we feel safe. But that night, these professionals caught nothing when they were fishing. Even their safe space felt empty. This reminds me of a man I knew growing up. He was a builder, a man of great skill, who spent his life fixing things for everyone. But as his body slowed down, he reached a point where he simply could not build anymore. He was deeply sad. He felt like those disciples in the boat at 3 a.m., tired, empty-handed, and wondering what his purpose was if he couldn't do the work anymore. He felt as if he wasn't useful, he wasn't valuable. But look at the beach in our story. When Jesus calls out, he doesn't ask to see the calluses on his hand or on their hands or a list of their achievements. He doesn't love Peter because Peter is a productive fisherman. In fact, that night, Peter was a failure. Jesus loved them while they were just sitting in the boat being tired. My friend the builder eventually realized that while his hands couldn't hold a hammer, they could still be held in prayer. Our worth isn't in what we do, but in who we are. As dawn breaks, a figure on the shore calls out, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" It's a gentle question, essentially asking, "Are you doing okay?" Just imagine, they're professional fishermen. They've been working the night shift for 8 hours with zero results. They're cold, they're hungry, and they're likely very cranky. And then some stranger on the beach shouts out the one question you never ask a fisherman who hasn't caught anything. "Catching much?" Their reply is blunt. A one-word answer, "No." You can almost hear the gritting of their teeth across the water. When they admit their failure, he tells them to throw the net on the right side. Suddenly, the waters erupt, and they catch 153 large fish. Why 153? Some people say it represents every known species of a gospel for all nations. But perhaps it's simpler. Fishermen count their catch because that's their livelihood, and it was a detail John could never forget. Crucially, the net did not tear. This is a picture of the church. a huge, diverse, global gathering held together not by its own strength, but because the risen Christ holds the net. I love Peter because he's the patron saint of acting before thinking. He realizes it's Jesus, and what does he do? He puts on his heavy fisherman's jacket and then jumps into the water to swim 100 meters. Now, I'm no Olympic swimmer, but I did do my life-saving badge in my pajamas, and I know that a wool coat is not exactly high-performance swimwear. He's probably dragging litres of Lake Galilee behind him, but he doesn't care. He just wants to get to the shore. When they reach the shore, they find a charcoal fire already burning. The creator of the universe is making breakfast. This is the Lord's Supper of the beach. We think of communion in church with silver cups, but here Jesus makes a meal holy on a pile of sand. He doesn't begin with a lecture. He doesn't tell them what they did wrong. He simply says, "Come and have breakfast." It's a gentle, ordinary, and kind. Before he asks anything of them, he provides. Before he sends them out, he lets them rest. He is teaching us that grace comes first. Failure and confusion had not disqualified them. This breakfast was Jesus saying the calling still stands. It's no wonder the fish became one of the earliest symbols of our faith. In the early church, when it was dangerous to be a believer, two strangers might meet on a dusty road. One would draw a simple curve in the dirt with their toe. If the other person completed the shape of the fish, they knew they were safe. They knew they both followed Christ. It was a quiet sign of belonging. And it's a sign for us too. This week, if we see the symbol of the fish, let it remind us the risen Jesus meets us in ordinary places. He does not meet us with pressure, but with kindness. He is already on the shore waiting for us. Amen. Now we'll sing hymn number 857, "Here I Am, Lord."
Thank you. The story we've just heard speaks about 153 fish, an overflowing catch that many Christians have understood as a picture of the global mission of the church. The gospel is for every nation, every language, every kind of person. But for most of us, it begins much smaller. It begins with one. One person God has placed in your life. A friend, a family member, a neighbour, a colleague, someone you care about who doesn't yet know Christ. It might be the neighbour who is always very polite but uninterested, the co-worker who says faith really isn't their thing, a child or a grandchild who once believed but has drifted away, or a friend who carries quiet questions but has never voiced them. Just one person. Because while the gospel is for all people, the mission so often begins one life at a time. One conversation, one act of kindness, one invitation, one prayer. And today, you'll be pleased to know, we're not asking you to pressure anyone. We're not asking you to argue or force difficult conversations. We're simply asking you to pray for one person, to ask the Lord to draw them closer to him, to open their heart, and to help them see his love. Because the truth is, we can't change anyone's heart. Only God can do that. But we can pray, we can love, we can listen, and we can trust that Jesus is already at work in ways we cannot see. Sometimes we all feel like those disciples on the boat, working hard and seeing nothing happen, praying and seeing no change, trying and feeling ineffective. But John 21 reminds us that emptiness is not the end of the story. Jesus is still on the shore, still watching, still guiding, still calling people to himself. And the miracle begins with something very simple, listening to his voice. Throw the net on the right side. It seems small, it seems ordinary, but obedience often opens the door for God to do something extraordinary. So we're going to take a few moments now to respond together. As you came in, Thomas gave you a strip of paper. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to write the name of that one person on it. Someone you are going to commit to praying for this week. Just one name. You should also have been given a small fish keychain with the name Jesus on it. That's for you to keep, perhaps on your keys or somewhere you'll see it each day, as a simple reminder to pray and to remember that Jesus is with you as you do. So let's take a quiet moment now, write that one name. Once you've written the name, you can turn the paper into a fish by slotting it together. And if you struggle, I'm sure Thomas will be delighted to help. When you're ready, I'd like to invite you to come forward and place your fish in the net at the front. As you do, just say a quiet prayer for that person. So off you go, write your names. Thomas will be happy to collect your fish if you'd like him to. and gently. And now we'll join together in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you meet us just as you met the disciples on that quiet morning by the lake. When we are tired, when we feel empty, when our efforts seem to achieve nothing, you stand on the shore and call to us again. Thank you that your heart is for all people, for every nation, every culture and every life. Thank you that your church is a wide net enough to hold them all, held together not by our strength, but by your grace. Today we place before you the names we have written on these fish. You know each person, their story, their struggles, their hopes, and their questions. Lord, draw them towards you. Open their hearts, help them to see your love and truth. Give us patience as we pray, courage when opportunities arise, and compassion to love people well. Remind us that you are already at work in ways we cannot see, and help us to listen for your voice and to follow where you lead. We ask this in your name. Amen. And now let us join together to sing our next hymn, Trust and Obey, number 760.
Thank you. Let us pray. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our births over and around us lied, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. For the joy of love from God that we share on earth below, for our friends and families, the love that they can show. Father, unto thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. For each perfect gift of thine to our race so freely given, thank you, Lord, that they are mine here on earth as gifts from heaven. Father, unto thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. Father, we want to just come today and say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for this new day, for the beautiful sunshine, and Lord, for the flowers and all the signs of spring and new life. Lord, we want to give you thanks for all of your love and all of your faithfulness. Lord, so often we forget, so often we go our own way and do our own thing. But Lord, today we just want to stop for a minute and give you thanks and praise for all of your love, all of your faithfulness, all you've given to us in Jesus and everything we have in you. Jesus, thank you that you came. Thank you that you died for us and that you rose again. And thank you that even as we've heard today, you're there for us, just waiting for us to come to you and to trust you. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. We thank you that he teaches us how to pray. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, in every way in our everyday lives. Lord, we thank you that we can come and just talk to you about some of the needs in our world. We pray for those in special need today, the ordinary people affected by war and abuse and hatred of any kind. Father, we pray that somehow you will draw near to them. If they know and love you, we pray you'll just speak to their hearts, give them your peace, and help them to find their hope in you. But if they don't, Lord, find ways of speaking to them of your love and your care, even in their dire circumstances. Have mercy, Lord, in your love and mercy, and help them in their need to come to you. We pray for our country. Lord, have mercy and give courage and strength to those who know and love you, that they may stand firm in the positions that you've given them in the government or in other places, especially in these difficult days of political turmoil and the violence of war. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayer for our land and for the ordinary people that are struggling at this time. Father, we pray for ourselves. Draw near and undertake for us as a church and as a community. For those who are in special need, in difficult circumstances, for those who are sick, be near those who are in care homes and bring your peace and surround them with your love. And for each one of us, in our individual needs, Lord, you know every single one of them. We pray that you will draw near, that you'll meet our needs, that you'll help us to come to you in our need and trust you in our circumstances. We pray, Lord, for those who are rejoicing today, for those who are on holiday, for those who are, everything is going well. We ask that you'll bless them and encourage them at this time. We pray, Lord, too, for Flora and the playgroup, that, Lord, as they prepare to finish at the end of this term, that, Lord, you will just open up the future for each one of them and encourage them and open up new opportunities. Father, we thank you that as individuals, as your children, you care about each one of us. Lord, we pray for all those who've been mentioned on these slips of paper, that somehow, Lord, in our lives, you'll help us to stand firm for you, that you help us to love and serve you, and that you'll help us to hear when you nudge us to tell us to do things, that we'll do them for your praise and to show your love to those around us. Thank you that we can bring all our prayers to you in the name and for the glory of Jesus. In his name, amen.
We close our service this morning with the hymn 689, Thine Be the Glory. As we leave this morning and return to our own lakesides, our homes, our workplaces, and our daily routines, let us carry the peace of that breakfast on the shore with us and remember that we do not have to fish for God's approval. We do not have to prove our worth by the weight of our nets or the strength of our hands. Remember that we do not go alone, and we may not know that even when our nets feel empty, his table is always full. The same Jesus who filled the nets and tended to the fire is already waiting for us in the week ahead. Let's go in joy, knowing that we are fed, we are loved, and we are his. Amen.